Hi, everyone. It's me, Katie Couric. You know, if you've been following me on social media, you know I love to cook, or at least try, especially alongside some of my favorite chefs and foodies, like Benny Blanco, Jake Cohen, Lighty Hoik, Allison Roman, and Ina Garten. So I started a free newsletter called Good Taste to share recipes, tips, and kitchen must-haves. Just sign up at katiecouric.com/goodtaste. That's KATIECOURIC.com/goodtaste. I promise your taste buds will be happy you did.
I'm Dr. Laurie Santos, host of the Happiness Lab podcast. As the U.S. elections approach, it can feel like we're angrier and more divided than ever.
Please stick to policy. Don't get personal.
But in a new, hopeful season of my podcast, I'll share what the science really shows, that we're surprisingly more united than most people think.
We all know something is wrong in our culture, in our politics, and that we need to do better and that we can do better.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Joe Gatto.
I'm Steve Byrne.
We are Two Cool Moms.
We certainly are.
And guess where we could find us now?
Oh, I don't know. The iHeart Podcast Network?
That's right. We're an official iHeart podcast, and I'm super excited about it.
I am too. I thought Two Cool Moms was such a fun podcast, but now it's even more funner and cooler and heartier.
That's right. It's more iHeartier.
I knew it! Check your heart rate. We're here at iHeart.
Yeah, you can find us wherever you listen to your podcast or on the iHeart Radio app.
Hey, I'm Bruce Bazzi. On my podcast, Table for Two, we have unforgettable lunch after unforgettable lunch with the best guest you could possibly ask for. People like David Duchovny, Jeff Goldblum, and Kristen Wiig.
We're doing all the dessert.
We'll just skip right to it.
Our second season is airing right now, so you can catch up on our conversations that are intimate and often hilarious. Listen to Table for Two with Bruce Bazzi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, a tremendous Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and man, we are all over the place. One world government trying to keep down the population of their own citizens, and they're announcing it. We'll talk about that tonight. We have questions on everything from could we have won the Korean War to nose rings? How do we change the culture of death in our society? I'll probably actually begin with that. The communists using your values against you. How do you avoid that? How do you prevent them from doing that? FISA, FBI, CIA talk, so much more. All that coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And remember, you can email us during the show. We are here live caring for you on a Friday evening. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com is the email address. Let's begin here. Jesse, you were talking about Trump and his stance on abortion, so on and so forth. You were saying it should be banned completely and we need to have a moral society where we can do that. Well, what I said was ideally you wouldn't have to ban something like abortion. That's what I said. You shouldn't have a country full of people who love to kill their babies. Oh, well, they don't love to kill it. They just want it as an option. Do you hear yourself? No, I don't want to murder it, but I want to know I can if I want to. That's a bad thing. That's bad. What I've said was I don't stress Trump's stance or really any of these politicians' stance on the issue. I mean, I'm happy if they push the issue forward. Good, good. Any way they can, ban, whatever, that's fine. But we have a people problem, not a politician problem. We must change the hearts of the people. That's what I've said. That's where our problem lies. If we are in a country right now where, all right, so obviously this has been in the news all week, so we'll just bring it up again. Trump moderates on abortion to try to win the election. That's what he's doing. That's what Carrie Lake is doing. Nah, I don't like that ban in Arizona. No, back off that. It's too far. He's moderating on abortion to try to win an election. If that's the smart strategy to win an election, and it may be, if that's the smart strategy, it shows that we have a people problem. If I have a laundry list of things I believe are true and right and good, and I do, you do, everyone has your list is different than my list, but everyone has a list, right? If I have a laundry list of things I want for my community, my town, my little village, I run a 100-person village, I want to be president of that village. And I know that this village, that we need this, and we need this, and we need this, and this would be the right thing, and this would be the right thing. And I know I'm going to have to earn their votes. And I sit down with my list, and I say to myself, well, dang, I definitely can't tell them that, otherwise they won't vote for me. Well, geez, I'm going to have to flat out reverse my opinion on this, otherwise they'll never vote for me. Well, that's not a me problem. That's their problem. That means I have to change the culture of the village. So anyway, back to the email. Hey, Jesse, it's Trump, whatever. My question is, how long will it take, and do we transform our society into a moral place? Will we see this in our lifetime? My kids are smarter than I was when I was younger, probably smarter than I am now. It's going to be a great generation. I'm seeing this in most kids. His name is Benny. How long will it take? Well, there's not an answer to that question, and I'm not going to be a Debbie Downer here. I'm just laying it out for you in my own way. You know, just brutal honesty is what you're going to get. There's no guarantee it will happen. You know, we convince ourselves that America, and I most definitely have done this, and this is me, that America is uniquely wonderful and this beacon of hope for the world, and it's been such a beacon of light and freedom on the world stage for a couple hundred years, and we just convince ourselves, and this is, again, I'm pointing fingers at myself, that America's, of course we're gonna come back. We're gonna bounce back. Yeah, we're down now, and a lot of this woke commie garbage is hurting us, and yeah, they're breaking the dollar, but hey, we're gonna come back. Have you read a history book? We might come back. Yes, yes. If you read a history book, you will see a million times nations have run into these valleys. And then for one reason or another, a great leader, a terrible war and a great leader, whatever, a laundry list of reasons. For whatever reason, they come out of it. It's not the most common thing in history, and we'll get to that in a moment. But it definitely has happened, and I'm not saying it won't happen here. I am not saying it won't happen here. In fact, I would argue uniquely set up to have it happen here because of how many tens of millions of Americans think like you, because of our Second Amendment rights. We actually have a system set up where we are one of the more likely ones where it could happen. So I'm not saying it won't, but look, the odds are against us. Nations don't generally start to degrade economically, citizen-wise, I'm talking about the influx of illegals, and morally, nations don't generally bounce back from that. Generally, when that's your situation, when you're a country, you're spending inhuman amounts of money, you're devaluing the dollar, that your citizens are watching their standard of living go away, and there's mass moral rot in the society in general, you're on the back nine. You are. And this is not some modern day point of view. This isn't some Christian point of view. Go read Roman emperors would talk about this. Marcus Aurelius, that they would. There are plenty of times where they wrote it down. And I'll go back to the Greek scholars. They would say, man, morally, the rotten society's gotten to a point where I'm not sure we're going to make it here. And let's explain why. All right, so let's dig into that. Why does that moral rot, why does it inevitably lead to national decline, in fact, maybe national disappearance, if we want to put too fine a point on it. You know, let's talk about Janet Yellen. Janet Yellen's a great example of this, as a matter of fact. She's been out there. I played this for you earlier this week.
I guess I'm just wondering if the economy continues to hold up, no matter what happens on the Fed.
I think we've got a good, strong economy. We've got very strong domestic demand. Consumers are holding up. Some low-income consumers are...
Got a strong economy. We're doing great. And people hear that and they want to pull their hair out and punch the radio because they just came from the grocery store. They just priced new cars. His wife's car is breaking down. He needs a new one. You can't even afford the interest rates. And people hear people like Janet Yellen say things are going great and they get angry. But you already know what the deal is. We've talked about this before. Janet Yellen, her and all her friends, they're looting the treasury. We are going through this mass period of time in America where the big corporations, the bureaucrats, the government, they've all aligned against the people, and they wake up every day and they blood suck as much money and your freedom out of you as they possibly can for themselves and their friends. That's why all the jobs have gone to foreigners, not Americans. That's why all the new banks, all the new money, it's all going to Bank of America and Merrill Lynch and the local community banks going away. It's why your Rust Belt town is left flat, broken, busted, and everyone in it's on drugs, while illegals are getting $53 million in New York City. All of the country is being torn up and piecemealed out to the various friends and allies of the dirty communists at the top. But what's this have to do with moral rot? Why does this mean the end of a nation? Well, think about it this way. If you hire me to guard your home while you're gone, you've got a bad problem with thieves coming in your home and you hire me to guard your home while you're gone, I can sign whatever contracts you want, put me through a background check. But in the end, you're leaving and I'm there with your stuff. If I decide once I'm there alone with your stuff to just take all of your stuff and then leave the house unlocked for the thieves as I walk out while you're out of town, while you're in Barbados sipping on a Mai Tai, well, what can you actually do about that? Meaning, if the people minding the store lose any sense of morality, any sense of good, evil, right and wrong, then you've already decided on an end for your country. The people in charge will simply loot it because they can't find a moral reason not to. And that brings me back to, look, I'm going to come back and finish answering the question on how long it might take and what it might take. Speaking of which, look, let's read this one. Hey, Jesse. A billboard I pass daily recently changed from an ad promoting vaccines to one that said, "Real men love babies." Well, first, it made me think of you and your advocacy for the unborn. And second, I realized I've been donating to preborn for a year now. As difficult as things are getting financially for many, I want to encourage your listeners to join the fight. I don't miss the money. And I take such delight in knowing I'm helping to save babies. Her name is Wendy. I'm telling you, you know what preborn does. And you know the costs, right? I've already told you many times. $28 will buy the ultrasound for that young mother who's about to kill her baby. There's no limit on it, though, and it's all tax deductible. Look, if you want to give them $28,000, give it to them. $5,000 funds the entire network for 24 hours. That's 200 babies. But look, if it's $5, sign up. Give it automatically. Month, week, whatever you can do. You want to talk about a wonderful, wonderful cause. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. Preborn.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We're talking about going through a long thing about culture and someone had a question about changing the culture, turning our culture into a culture of life instead of death. And how long does that take? And we were just talking about why it's not a guarantee that it even happens. If it does happen, it does take time. And then we were just discussing why it's so important. Why do people discuss morality at all? Why did Plato talk about morality? You know, why do Chinese emperors talk about morality? Why is this something that came up in various countries and various times throughout history? Well, in the end, people, if you're going to have a society of people, you know what? Forget society. Let's actually make this even more personal. Think about I want you to think about all the times that you have messed up in your life. All the times you've really, really messed up, done something wrong. And I know my list is very long. What's the one, if you really nail down to it, what's the one predominant reason you did something bad? If I get off work tonight and I decide, you know what? It's been a long week. I'm not going home. I know wife's got dinner ready, whatever. I'm not going home. I'm stopping at the bar and I'm just going to lay waste to 10 shots of Jack tonight because I feel like it. I know my kids have a concert, whatever. I don't care. I've had a long week. It's Jack Daniels time, baby. Why? Setting aside everything else, why? Selfishness. Putting myself above other people. Every time I've ever screwed up, and man, I've screwed up way more than you have, it's because I value me over you, over them, over her, over him, over the, I put myself, selfishness, right? So expand that to a society. You can tell how good of a person someone generally is by how unselfish or selfish they are. It's really one of the best barometers to use. If I have that 100-person village, and in my 100-person village, people are so selfless. So when I'm out getting the mail in the morning, and I see Jewish producer Chris's trash can blown over across the street, I can just grab the mail and go back inside, or I can run over there across the street, grab his trash can, prop it up, bring it into Chris's little hut by his menorah and whatever other stuff he has in there. And what makes the village better? The unselfishness, right? So that's the general gist of why morality actually matters. It's why the most ridiculous talk you'll ever hear is these dollar and cent libertarians or conservatives or whatever you want to call it, where, hey, man, don't tell people, you know, any guidance on how to live or whatnot. Dollar, just talk about taxes and free markets. Dude, I love taxes and free markets. I want to talk about those things all day long. But unless we have a sense of right and wrong, of morality, of unselfishness in a society, then we're going to keep producing these selfish, horrible leaders who are looting the treasury. This is something that we've talked about so many times on this show. It drives me crazy that these people aren't mindful of us. It's really what so much of this comes down to. They don't wake up in the morning and think about you. They don't think about America, the American citizen, our way of life. All they think about is lying.
Yes, I'm just wondering if the economy continues to hold up no matter what happens on the Fed.
I think that we've got a good, strong economy. We've got very strong domestic demand.
That's not a good person who's screwing something up. That's a liar who never thinks about you. As Treasury Secretary, it drives me crazy. And it's not just Democrats. Don't think I'm just picking on them. Again, this is the most powerful Republican in Washington, D.C. today. He never wakes up and thinks about you for a single second unless he's thinking about how much you annoy him.
This cannot be the message America sends to the world. Leadership means standing up for America's interests, from the Indo-Pacific to Europe to the Middle East, even when the most active...
He knows he doesn't give a crap about America's interests. He's not talking about America's interests overseas. He's talking about his own selfish interests. He's talking about his overseas stock portfolio. He's talking about a million different things. But one thing I guarantee to you, cross my heart and hope to die, is he's not thinking about you. He's not thinking about Sherry. She just got home from the grocery store. She thinks she's going to have to get a job now because her husband's been working overtime and still can't make ends meet. But if she gets that job, she's never going to get to see little Billy practice. Is this your story right now? It's the story of a lot of people right now. He's not thinking about Bill. Bill just got laid off. Already can't afford the rent. Probably going to have to tell his wife and kids they're moving back in with mom and dad. I guarantee you, Janet Yellen, Mitch McConnell, none of those people give a crap about that guy. They don't, and that's what drives me nuts. It's the selfishness. They don't wake up with any sense of duty or honor for this country at all. It never crosses their mind. The concept of America is ridiculous to them. It's just, it's like a, like you would laugh at your child for some fantasy world they brought up. Dad, come to my room. I've made a world of clouds we skip around on. That's how they think about you when you talk about America. It drives me nuts, man. All right, whatever. Let's get to some more things. Hey, who's this Steve from Manhattan guy with the phones? Someone wants some clarification on an old joke that's ongoing on the show. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Korean War. Hitler, and someone has a fashion statement for women, a fashion standard. All right, all that, but first you got to go get some food. No, I don't want you to go order a beefy gordita. Although, actually, you probably should, but not. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about emergency food. Obviously, as we just discussed at length, there's no guarantee we're pulling out of this, and the odds are against us. Now, that doesn't mean we quit or cry. It means we make plans. You know my Patriot Supply. You already know. I've told you a million times about their three-month food kits. But I also understand, and they understand, that everyone's finances don't look that great right now. They're selling one-week emergency food kits. They're under $50. Okay, you can't do 3 months. You can't do 1 month. At least get a week. Get a week. Over 2,000 calories a day. You want that deal? Go to preparewithjessekelly.com. Get some emergency food. Preparewithjessekelly.com. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy O'Brien from John Boy Media. I want to quickly tell you about my podcast. It's called Jimmy's Three Things. Episodes come out every Tuesday, and for about 30 minutes, I dive into three topics in Major League Baseball that I am interested in. Breaking stories, trends, stats, weird stuff. Sometimes I make up my own stats. Sometimes I do a lot of research, and it ends up, I was wrong the whole time. So that's something you can get in on. Use Jimmy's Three Things podcast to stay up to date on Major League Baseball and to make you just a smidge smarter than your friend who's a baseball fan. You listen to me and then you go tell him, hey, I know this and you don't. So I make you smarter than your friends. That's what Jimmy's Three Things is all about. Listen to Jimmy's Three Things on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. You could also find it on the Talkin' Baseball YouTube channel, and new episodes drop every Tuesday.
Hey everyone, Jake Storielli here from John Boy Media. I want to tell you about my podcast, Wake and Jake. It's your go-to spot for anything and everything sports. Baseball, football, basketball, hockey, golf, college, whatever's hot in the street, we're talking about it on Wake and Jake. So if you're a diehard fan or looking for the latest buzz, we've got you covered. No matter your favorite sport, we're breaking it down with the passion that'll make you feel like you're in the stands with us. Plus, we've got a bunch of guests, Foolish Bailey, Jolly Olive, Chris Rose, and more. Mock drafts, rankings, whatever you want. It's the sports world, and come on and join our friends in the Wake and Jake family. You will not regret it. So, new episodes Monday and Wednesday. You can watch along on the Wake and Jake YouTube channel or listen to Wake and Jake on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain, but those experiments are the most important scientific discoveries of the time.
I'm Evan Ratliff. Last season, we tackled the ingenuity of Elon Musk with biographer Walter Isaacson. This time, we're diving into the story of Benjamin Franklin, another genius who's desperate to be dusted off from history.
His media empire makes him the most successful self-made business person in America. I mean, he was never early to bed and early to rise type person. He's enormously famous. Women start wearing their hair in what was called the coiffure a la Franklin.
And who's more relevant now than ever.
The only other person who could have possibly been the first president would have been Benjamin Franklin. But he's too old and wants Washington to do it.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Buzz Knight, and I'm the host of the Taking a Walk podcast, Music History on Foot. Ian Hunter.
Hello, Ian. It's Ringo. How'd you fancy going on the tour? You get the chills when the Beatles are on your answering machine.
The podcast is an audio diary of insightful conversations with musicians and the inside stories behind their music. Kenny Aronoff.
I wake up every morning and I feel grateful, but I know it didn't come from luck. If you get a lucky break, well, you better be prepared. You better be ready. If you've done your homework and you're continuing to do your homework, you'll turn that lucky break into something great.
The message of the podcast is simple. Honest conversation with musicians about the music they create. Carney Wilson.
You know, I mean, Elton John picked me up and put me back in my crib when I was a toddler. It's like, that's the thing that's so cool is I've got these stories because of my life.
Listen to the Taking a Walk podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. A great day. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. There's so much to get to tonight. All kinds of history questions and culture questions and whatnot. Jesse, can you explain the Steve from Manhattan inside joke from last Wednesday's show? Okay, so let me tell you. Here's the deal. And you know what? I can actually hear this guy's heart pitter-pattering right now. I've grown to love this guy. So here's, how long have we been doing radio, Chris? About 5.5 years? It's almost 6 years? Almost 6 years. All right. I don't know how long ago we picked up this guy. You know I don't do many phone calls on the show. I just don't do many guests. I don't do many calls. I like to just do my own show. But there is a guy. He calls in. And he used to rant. He went through the same rant. I don't know whether he's insane or whether this is a bit, but he used to go through this same rant no matter what the topic was. In 1965, Immigration Act, he would do the same thing. And then after he went through the same programmed rant, I'm sure he does this for a million radio shows in a day, he would talk about how I need to talk to Steve from Manhattan. You got to talk to Steve from Manhattan. Michael, Chris, am I doing this wrong? I'm getting this right, right? That's how it started. You got to talk to Steve from Manhattan. And I would ask him, I even asked him, I know I asked him at least once, who is Steve from Manhattan? Why is Steve? I don't understand. And there was no answer. Like, he just kind of got manic on the phone. Steve from Manhattan, Steve from Manhattan. So I finally just started hanging up and figured, he's just a nutball, which I'm fine with nutballs. It's entertaining. It's good radio. You're stuck in traffic. Don't you want entertainment? I do. So anyway, now he knows he can't call in with whatever. I don't even know his name. Did we ever get his real name? I forgot it, whatever, at the time. But I forgot his name. So now he calls in and he gives the call screener a fake name and fake location. All right. So then there's that. And we don't take enough calls so that I don't recognize the sound of his voice. So he gives a fake name, fake location. And then, you know how I say get right to the point if I ever get to the phone calls. You just can't drone on and on and on and on. It's too boring for everyone listening. Calls themselves are boring. You've got to get to the point quick. So he's picked up on this by now, and he'll launch into some story that he knows I'll keep him on the line for. Hey, I was just fighting 18 ninjas last night, and he knows, obviously, I've got to see where this is going to go. He's not making the cardinal mistake that really, if you've ever been hung up on, that's what you made. Well, and I was talking to Susie last night. No, wait a minute. It wasn't last night. It was Monday morning. I think it was, oh my gosh, hanging up the phone, right? He's not making that mistake. He's getting to the point. He's moving along. And then he'll just drop it out of nowhere. And I'm fighting these 18 ninjas on the buses. And I turn to one of these guys. And you know what I said, Jesse? I said, do you know who Steve from Manhattan was? Because he knows I'm going to hang up the phone the second he says it. So now it's become this game. And I totally enjoy it. Me, Chris, Michael, the second anyone calls in and we think it might be him, you'll see me. If you watch, you know, we simulcast the show. You can watch me do the radio show. Not that I think that would be extra riveting, but I can't. A lot of people like to do it. I'm looking, like, when I'm looking towards the camera, if you're watching right now, there's the camera, I'm pointing towards it. Chris and Michael are right there, right? So they're right through the glass right there. So if you hear someone on the phone and you're watching the simulcast and you kind of see me pointing towards these guys, it's because either they think it's him or I think it's him. I'll kind of be asking, is that him? And they'll be all pointing, no, I don't think that's him. That's the Steve from Manhattan story. And now you are caught up on one of the inside jokes, long-running bits of the show. But that's not our guy. This is not some plant. We have no idea who this person is. Probably a complete nut job who's going to assassinate me one day. But it's awesome until that point in time. Hey, Jesse, my grandpa was in the Marines and served as a mortarman in the Korean War from 51 to 52. I still have his trench coat. I guess that was the beginning of not fighting wars to win them. My grandpa said they could easily have conquered North Korea if they'd put up all their assets, but their main goal was just to protect South Korea from getting conquered should they have taken the North. All right. You know, remember what we talked about a little bit last night? One of the themes from last night's show, the human element. We forget about the human element. You know, when you have you've had a long day, maybe it's a rough day at work, maybe kids were bad, you broke a glass in the house, whatever the case may be, and your husband, wife, you finally see them for the first time and you've had a bad day. They generally need to be pretty kind in that moment, right? If I've had the day of days, it's just been the best day ever. I got a promotion at work. Chris quit. Just everything's going well. And I finally get home. The wife can bum rush me right when I get home. You forgot to take out the trash today, honey. And I'll probably be like, oh, dang, shoot, my bad. Anyway, let me take it out. Let me take it out now. But if I've had a terrible day, we got word we're getting in trouble by corporate again, and Chris is going to keep working here, and just nothing's going right. That day when I get home and she says, honey, you forgot to take out the trash again, I may come unglued. Are you kidding me? You're coming at me? Why? The human element is a thing. It's a thing for you. It's a thing for me. We forget about that when it comes to nations themselves. Worlds. Because what are nations? It's just a bunch of people. You know the Battle of France, the fall of France, I should say, when Hitler invaded France? History geeks will know this already, but most people don't know this in depth. You understand that by virtually every measure, France had the superior army and should have wiped out the Germans? Did you know that? Most people don't know that. I mean, you can go down the list, tanks, troops, and they were on the defensive, not the offensive. Hitler's generals were screaming at him about not invading France. This is suicide. We're going to lose. He was supposed to lose the Battle of France. France had the superior military. Germany had some outstanding generals. These were leftovers from World War I. They had an outstanding plan. It wasn't Hitler who was the military mind. They had really good military minds, especially in the beginning. They had an outstanding plan. They had an outstanding military doctrine, kind of a smash through, hammer them with the fist type thing, blitzkrieg type stuff. Anyway, and France fell, but France was not supposed to fall. So why did they fall, though? Why did they fall so fast? Well, France, and I won't go into the details of it, they got wrong-footed pretty bad. The Germans invaded through an area France wasn't anticipating. They got on top of the French pretty quickly, and the French leadership, really while the army was still intact, said, oh, we surrender. Okay, we're good. You can have the place. Why? Well, who was in French leadership at this time? How old would they have been? What is it? It's generally men in their 50s and 60s, right, who lead countries in general. That's rough, but that's in general what it is. Well, do the math. The men who were leading France's army, France's government, they were men who had been there watching with their own eyes as their entire country got turned to rubble during World War I. They watched with their own eyes as an entire generation of French men were wiped out. How much death and carnage and misery and sadness and suffering had those men seen and gone through in World War I? And I'm not excusing the early exit from World War II, but it is most definite, if you go back and read, it is a reason. They were facing another army. It was invading. French people were dying. We can't do this again. Oh my gosh, just have it, please. We can't, no more. We can't do that again. The human element. It was so soon after World War I, all those scars were still there, and France just caved. I will explain how that pertains to something like Korea, and then we'll get to many, many other things still on the Jesse Kelly Show. Before I get to those things, post-World War I Germany was a rough place to be, especially because their currency was devalued. Now, don't worry. I don't want you to worry. It's not something you have to worry about here. Their currency was devalued because the government printed a bunch of money that wasn't backed by anything. That certainly would never happen here in America, right? It's not like they've printed $7-8 trillion in the past few years alone. But, you know, the people who were okay in World War I Germany, they were the people who owned what now? Precious metals. The people who owned gold and silver, they were okay when the value of the German dollar was destroyed. The people who did not, well, they burned their money for heat at night. That's how worthless it was. Call Oxford Gold Group and get some gold delivered to you and your family. Or silver. I don't care what color it is. Get precious metals delivered to you. Because the people wrecking the dollar are not going to stop anytime soon. Call Oxford Gold Group. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. There is so much we're going to get to tonight. It's been a blast. Did you see what those crazy people in Switzerland are doing? And yes, I know Republicans betrayed us earlier today and they did us wrong on FISA. No one who listens to this show was surprised by that. I told you that was going to happen at the beginning of the week. I know. It is what it is. What are we going to do? These people are going to help the Cheka destroy us, and that is what it is. All right, the guy said, Korea. We could have beaten North Korea during the Korean War. We could have beaten them easily. Why didn't we do it? Why didn't we fight wars to win? Well, after World War II, collectively as a world, I don't know if you've ever read anything on it or seen any interviews with people. That's really what gets me. The older documentaries are the best because you still have people who are super young and lucid and the memories are still really, really fresh. And they're giving you an accounting of what happened and all these things. And the aftermath is something we don't think about. It's something we don't think about. And this is what I mean. You've seen videos, you've seen pictures of a bombed out city somewhere. Pick a place. France, Europe, Germany. You know, just make it about Germany. A bombed out city. Dresden. It's bombed out, it's cooked out, it's all these buildings. You know what I always think about? The cleanup. And I don't just mean getting the rubble off the streets, but what do the normal people do while that's going on? If that bombed out building is a factory I used to work at, that's where I earned money for my wife and kids, and the apartment building where I lived with my wife and kids, it got bombed out too. We were thankfully in a bomb shelter that night. Okay, I wake up that day, I now don't have a job, the factory's gone, my apartment's gone. Where do we even live? Where do you begin to go? How do I eat? Are we going to starve? Honey, what stuff do we go out on the road? Are we refugees now? Who will take us in? Okay, so that's one tiny little aspect. A tiny little aspect of World War II. How many stories like that one that I just made up, how many people post-World War II were in that situation after a war that devastating? A war where destruction and death was that widespread. I was not alive back then, but when I watched these interviews with these older folks who were, it was like the world had PTSD for quite some time, understandably, after World War II. So if it's a little confusing why we did, why weren't we dropping atom bombs on North Korea? Take out a bunch of those dirty tri-coms while we're at it. It's an understandable point of view. It's an understandable desire. But again, the human element, like we've been talking about a lot, the human element, the world had no appetite for another big boy war. Frankly, the world didn't have any appetite for a smaller war. The world was done with all that. It's part of the reason. You realize that World War II was part of the reason. In fact, if you want to trace it back, the reason why the Vietnam War happened for us. Why? The French weren't there anymore. But why weren't the French there anymore? Well, the French had it. And then the Vietnamese wanted them gone. And the French people, after World War II and World War I, they just didn't have the appetite to pour everything into Vietnam that they could have poured into Vietnam to win that. It's not that they didn't fight there. They fought there. And to be honest, the French fought bravely there. But the country of France, they just didn't have it in them. They didn't have it in them anymore. And the Vietnamese were all about that life. And they just backed off. And, you know, a couple decades later, there we are in Vietnam. See how it's all connected? All right, let's move on. We have to talk about some other things. Cheryl Atkinson, one of the great journalists in the country. Remember, she's the one who's disclosed Barack Obama's DOJ hacking into her computer. She's the one who testified in front of congressmen that the FBI told her that they'd planted child porn on people's computers and tried to do that to her husband. That's how evil these agencies are. This was her in front of Congress.
What else should we do?
Well, I think it's a global problem that has to do with sending a message of oversight to the intelligence agencies that we know have for decades violated rights and made policies that are contrary to Constitution and so on. I don't think there's been an effort they think is serious. I feel like the intelligence agencies feel like they're running the committees here rather than the committees conducting oversight of them, and that there needs to be something. They understand that they would be held accountable when they do things, and I don't know what that looks like in practice, but I don't think the law is in the...
Thank you. Ms. Johnson.
The intelligence agencies think they run things. Well, we just had how many Republicans today vote with the communists to strike down a critical FISA amendment that would have protected your rights? How many of those congressmen are just bootlicking losers? Oh, a lot of them. A lot of them. Well, the great men and women at the FBI, those kind of dorks, there's still plenty of them there. How many of those congressmen, though, how many of them had a little knock at the door, had a little phone call, had a little visit from somebody saying, hey, congressman, we would love to keep spying on Americans without those pesky warrants. And I know you're going to vote against that, but you see, we have this video of you. Remember that work trip you took to Zimbabwe? Yeah, we got some great video of you that night. Anyway, we're going to need you to go ahead and keep authorizing that. Thanks, but no thanks. That doesn't just happen in the movies. We know now because the congressmen are now coming forward about it. That's how our gangster government, a lot of it is run. And that is why we must focus locally first, because the swamp will not be saved from the swamp. We must first take back our rights right here at home. All right? All right. We have other things. Using our values against us. How do you stop them from doing that? What do you do there? Foreign languages. Americans are using Chinese. Women with nose rings. So much more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. But you know what else is coming up for me? Well, I don't know, but I know I'm going to be up for a while. And here's why. Today, I woke up. I did my normal thing. 2 cups of coffee with my eggs in the morning. And then I lifted weights. But right before I lifted weights, I poured a little bit of Chad Mode in a bottle of water. Now, I generally don't combine the Chad Mode and the coffee. Chad Mode is this all-natural pre-workout from Chalk, all-natural caffeines. It had a great workout, I just want to say. And now my legs are doing that thing where they bounce up and down underneath the desk. I'm a little bit hyped up today. courtesy of Chalk once again. Go get you some Chad Mode if you work out. Pour a little scoop of that in something. See how much you enjoy it. Again, natural, not with all that crap that they put in all the other pre-workouts. Take a male vitality stack or a female vitality stack. Go take some natural herbal supplements and just live better, man. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. 2 hours left. Hang on.
Hi, everybody. It's Katie Couric. Have you heard about my newsletter called Body and Soul? It has everything you need to know about health and wellness. From skincare and serums to meditation and brain health, we've got you covered. And most importantly, it's information you can trust. Everything is vetted by experts at the top of their field. Just sign up at katiecouric.com/bodyandsoul. That's KATIECOURIC.com/bodyandsoul. I promise you'll be happier and healthier if you do.
I'm Dr. Laurie Santos, host of the Happiness Lab podcast. As the U.S. elections approach, it can feel like we're angrier and more divided than ever.
Please stick to policy. Don't get personal.
But in a new, hopeful season of my podcast, I'll share what the science really shows, that we're surprisingly more united than most people think.
We all know something is wrong in our culture, in our politics, and that we need to do better and that we can do better.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey everyone, Jake Storielli here from John Boy Media. I want to tell you about my podcast, Wake and Jake. I've been a sports nut my whole life, and there's nothing I love more than talking about it. If you're a sports fan, Wake and Jake is the place for you. Covering all the hot topics from the sports world, a lot of baseball, a lot of postseason coverage, mock drafts, awards, guest interviews, all of it. New episodes every Monday and Wednesday. Come watch along on the Wake and Jake YouTube channel or listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain.
Benjamin Franklin is our subject for a new season with Walter Isaacson.
He's the most successful self-made business person in America.
A printer, a scientist, founding father, but maybe not the guy we think we know.
Franklin casts his lot on the side of revolution, and it's another thing that splits the family apart.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.